This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
Shivangi was living with her partner in Delhi when the Prime Minister Narendra Modi announced a lockdown. Her parents got worried about her and asked her to move in with them. Shivangi is a queer disabled activist.
It was extremely difficult. I felt constantly shut down by my parents, and it became a task to constantly have conversations with them about like why we couldn't think alike, or why I didn't want to agree to certain things that they were doing. And it was mostly me just having to lock myself in my room. I didn't want to really have conversations about anything with them, because most of them would turn, in a negative direction.
Shivangi said that she had been living independently with her partner for about a year. For her, her sexuality is implied. She felt very distant from her parents, whose politics and ideas don't match hers. Locking herself in a room seemed like the only option. She has now been more dependent on her parents' home since the pandemic began.
I think what troubles me most is that with parents especially, is that like since I'm not like, I mean, I am like out like to them as a queer person, not to them actually, I mean I'm out to the world. And I don't know what this out means either. Like, I don't know coming out is, if it's like a physically coming out of a space, and, you know, or if it's like mentally coming out of a space. I think I was always out. I just haven't like had a very direct conversation with them that this is who I am. They know that I have a partner who is non-binary, and they just think of them as a friend of mine. And that as hiding that aspect of mine is also, it causes distress in me, because it's been like almost 2 years now that I've been with my partner. And I think it's a long enough time where parents should, at least family members should be open to it.
Shivangi is talking about a space where she can be completely herself. What happens when those spaces go missing? Hi, I'm Kunika Balhotra, Research and Communications Officer for Suno India, and your host for this mini-series of the Suno India Show. In this episode, we will talk about how the pandemic has affected the mental health of LGBTQI community. The LGBTQI, standing for lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, or intersex, is a stigmatized community who are often discriminated against because of their real or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, or sex characteristics. Many people from this community keep their identity under wraps to avoid discrimination. The community therefore seeks solace and respite in spaces where some of them gather and blow off steam, celebrate, or just cry on each other's shoulders. Shivalal Gautam, a 29-year-old queer activist from Guwahati, Assam, and the co-founder of Homonoi, meaning bridge or connection in Assamese, understands the importance of such spaces. The two-year-old organization supports and helps mobilize the LGBTQI community in the state. Gautam has also been organizing Guwahati Pride Walk since 2014.
For a lot of queer people, actually for almost everyone, like having a space outside their heteronormative household, biological household, and also spaces like educational institutes or workplaces where they are seen or perceived as a cisgender heterosexual person, and where they cannot navigate those spaces as a queer person, queer spaces become very important, and it has played a very important role in helping in creating a support system for queer individuals where they can talk about the issues without feeling judged or stigmatized. And at the same time, you know, where they can be free in terms of where they can enjoy the spaces. For example, if I may say, a space that a heterosexual person enjoys around in general, everywhere. So that is something a queer person enjoys in a space which is meant for queer people, which is in general not there in the society. When I say spaces, it doesn't have to be a four wall, a big office kind of a space, a building kind of a space. It can be, say, some friends or some community people, gathering in a spot, say in a park or some other place, going for a hike, or just meeting at some other random place and just talking and chatting away, or just sharing a few laughs or a few issues of their own. These are also spaces.
The COVID-induced lockdown has cut them off from a community, their larger family, where they feel comfortable in their own skin. Many people from the community feel bereft.
But then again, with the whole COVID situation, with the whole lockdown especially, the spaces also became non-accessible, which created more issues for a lot of people, because they were looking at these spaces where they could, go once a week or say for some time in a day or sometimes in a month, and they could just be themselves and chill. It was more like a rejuvenating experience for a lot of people. And yes, the support were also there. So, but with being forced to be at home, there have been so many cases where people have felt very isolated, lonely, and, dejected without having any sense of belongingness with the whole lockdown period.
A term, minority stress model, coined by American psychiatric epidemiologist Eileen Mayer, explains the feeling of chronic stress that LGBTQI community feels. Mayer writes that sexual minorities experience this stress due to their stigmatized identities, including victimization, prejudice, and discrimination. This stress can affect mental health and well-being in the community. Like Shivangi, many had to move back to their parents' homes. Some people have faced domestic violence from their families. We spoke to Pawan Dhal, who founded Varta Trust, a gender and sexuality advocacy organization in Kolkata. Dhal talks of a case where a lesbian woman was beaten up in her house during the lockdown.
I'll give you the example of a lesbian couple in the district called Nadia, which is in South Bengal, not far from Kolkata. So these are two young women, both are adults, and one of them had been working, but not a very high-paying or well-paying job. She had relative acceptance at home, in the sense that her parents and siblings, they were okay about her sexuality. They were not very happy, but they were like, okay, you do what you have to, but make sure that the family does not get dragged into any problems. But her partner, unfortunately, she got stuck at home, and her family was extremely violent towards her. She was beaten black and blue for her relationship with this other girl. When these girls, they tried to complain at the local police station, the police official also turned out to be a family friend of the other woman, and or at least somebody who was sympathetic to the family. And instead of taking note of the fact that here there was domestic violence being committed on an adult woman, they actually beat up the other girl also, and called her family and insulted them as well. So the police often moralizes instead of supporting you. Your family also doesn't spare you. They want you to behave normal. They want you to act normal. They want you to be a good Bharatiya Nari and get married and have children, and that's it. But what about the relationship that these women had with each other? So they were being stuck at home. And the irony is that we often say that home is the safest place. But from the queer point of view, one has to question this assumption. For a lot of queer individuals, home was anything but safe.
Many members of the community, especially the transgender community, are poor, depending on either seeking alms or dancing for celebrations, all of which is impossible during the lockdown. Dhal talks about a community of transgender women who migrate from Bihar and eastern Uttar Pradesh to West Bengal every year for the wedding season. They got stuck in West Bengal during the lockdown.
Transgender women in particular, a lot of them in West Bengal, are also Londa dancers. So Londa Nach is actually a cultural aspect of a lot of transgender women's lives. What happens is that twice a year during the wedding season, in Bihar and eastern Uttar Pradesh, a lot of these trans women, they migrate from West Bengal to the places in Bihar, and they travel through Bihar and Eastern UP and perform a Londa dance during the wedding festivities. And that is actually a very important source of income for them. They have agents or masters who help them get orders or contracts to dance in a particular ceremony or in a particular event being held in a certain family. This is something which completely came to a stop because of the lockdown. You know, there was no travel possible. And the worst part is the latest season was getting over, the wedding season was getting over in the early part of this year. And so a lot of the Londa dancers were still in Bihar or Eastern Uttar Pradesh when the lockdown was announced. So they got stuck there. They had no income because all the weddings and festivities had been cancelled. Only small events were happening. So they were like without an income. Fortunately, their masters or others, they helped them to get shelter. But, you know, they were on the brink of starvation. There was no certainty about how they would survive if they were not able to get back home.
Most transgender women move out of their homes and mostly live with their community. They live in very vulnerable circumstances.
I have also come to know about an individual who lives in Jalpaiguri, but she was originally from Kolkata. Because of family violence and continuous family violence, she got fed up and she said that, okay, whatever happens to me, I'm not staying at home, I'm going to leave. And it has been many years that she left for Jalpaiguri. But unfortunately, during this lockdown, and there she was engaging in one of the traditional transgender women's occupations, which is challa. Challa is essentially seeking alms in public places and often also on the railway trains. So her main area of operation was on the trains. But during the lockdown, all the trains stopped. In the lockdown, this was completely impractical because everything was shut down. So her living arrangement was such that she had a rented room where she had to, apart from paying the rental, monthly rental to the landlord and the landlady, she also had to give raw food to them, which they would then cook for her. She was not allowed to go into the kitchen. She did not have her own kitchen. So if she wanted cooked food, she would have to give the raw material, the rice, the grains or pulses or vegetables to the landlady, and she would cook it for her. This was her arrangement. But all her income stopped, and even, you know, purchasing anything, any food also became a huge issue.
While her landlady has not thrown her out during the lockdown, she continues to threaten her to throw her out if she does not pay for rent and food. The lack of regular income not only impacts on their ability to survive, but also their identities as transgender persons. Transgender persons have a discomfort with their gender assigned to them at birth. They want to change their bodies to reflect the gender they desire. This is called gender affirmative care, which ranges from taking hormones to gender reassignment surgery. During the lockdown and the pandemic, many people from Assam reached out to Gautam in distress.
We started to hear about the issues of the community. We started to get phone calls in our own private numbers. People started to reach out to us. People started to write to us in our Facebook page or, you know, Instagram page. And people started to make us phone calls that they do not have any sort of food security. They do not have money to pay for the rent or for their hormones. Hormones is something which generally, usually a trans person takes hormones, after which they can go for surgery for the gender affirmation process. So people even didn't have that amount of money. Generally a hormone costs you, it again depends on what hormone you are taking, whether it's injection or medicine. But for the minimum one, the cheapest one, I think for a month, you require 1500. So most of the trans persons didn't even have money for that, because most of them were students, dependent on their families, and they had taken up other sources of work, like, you know, some of them were part-time models, some of them were, you know, working in informal sector, like dancing in events, or, you know, giving dance classes or somewhere, you know, yoga instructors or choreographers. So these were the, and some of them were beauticians, most of the, and some were tuition teachers. So these were the areas where the community people started to reach out to us. And even, say, Hijra persons here in Guwahati who reached out to us, like around 50 Hijra persons had reached out to us from Guwahati to help them with like food security and all of that.
For many transgender people who lived outside cities, availability of hormones became a huge problem. This is Dhal again.
Because of the lockdown, the biggest problem was that the availability of the hormones went down. Either the medicines were not available, or they were not available in the right dose, or the people, or maybe they were available in the bigger cities like Kolkata or Bhubaneswar or Guwahati. These are the places I know the most about. But the people concerned were not necessarily in these big cities. They were living in the districts. They were stuck at home in a smaller town. And they were not able to access the hormones in their own homes. They needed to come to the big city, but they were not able to. This was another challenge, which added to their sense of anxiety, loneliness, depression. And even the transgender women, they also reported the same situation. They felt extremely helpless and lonely, and they were kind of traumatized.
Many who are HIV positive have not been able to reach their antiretroviral therapy centers in the district. Not taking HIV medicines regularly can make people sicker. This constant state of vulnerability and living on the edge affects even the seemingly well-adjusted members of the LGBTQI community. Dhal has been an activist since his college days. He is now in his 50s and has been out as a gay man for decades. The lockdown and movement restrictions took a toll on him.
For me, personally, there has also been a lot of anxiety and stress and loneliness, and a lot of it is because I haven't been able to meet my community fellow members like I used to under normal circumstances. And that has been like quite a big blow, because in my family, like, I'm 50 plus and I have been an activist since my college days. So in my family, everyone knows about me. That's not the issue. But at the same time, there are these challenges of larger social stigma. For me, there is also the concern about my queer family, because I have a number of queer friends who are very close to me. And there has been a sense of helplessness because, you know, even if I wanted to, I could not do anything much for them. So it's been like everything's been torn apart. And it seems that we are all living in islands, and maybe a phone call or WhatsApp might help a little bit, a video call might help a little bit. But that inability to be together with people has taken quite a toll on my mind.
Helping others constantly and engaging with the community emotionally also takes a toll on activists like Dhal and Gautam. Gautam, who was undergoing therapy for a couple of years, started on medications only after the lockdown started.
So I think the whole, my process of going for medicine is also something very deeply related to my experience in the COVID. And now I spoke only professionally, how the other cases, how the experience of other people started to affect me, because I'm not very thick-skinned, you know, or I cannot be non-empathetic and forget, what the problem the person is facing. I myself belong from a marginalized community. I know where people are coming from. So it affected me. I had no release. I had literally burying a friend or two. I had no other place where I could vent out. So that was also building a lot of pent-up issues of my own. There was a lot of anger, irritation, tendency to self-harm myself. All of this was happening to me. And I was growing very scared. And I had also had heartbreaks in the past. I had issues of could-be partners gaslighting me. All of this has happened in the past, say last year or very early this year. Suddenly, this lockdown brought all of these issues, which I thought I had handled very properly. But no, I had not. And it put me in such a position where I literally couldn't even wake up from my bed. I found it very difficult to wake up from my bed or even to leave my bed. For the longest time, I didn't step out of my house except for going to the washroom or, you know, something or the other. I didn't step out from my gate because I couldn't. My anxiety had developed a lot. The fear had of social connectivity and connection was giving me a lot of fear and anxiety.
Gautam said that he is now coping with his anxieties better. The COVID-19 pandemic has aggravated the already existing social and economic factors among the LGBTQI community and has pushed them towards the brink.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Suno India Show. To know as and when an episode is released, do subscribe to our newsletter on sunoindia.in. And you can also follow us on any podcast app of your choice.